Good morning. It's certainly good to see each and every one of you out this morning, and we do have several who are here for the first time in a while, and we're thankful that you are able to make it today. There are several who have not been feeling well that are back, and we're thankful for your presence as well. I don't know what happened, but I think I inhaled something during Bible study this morning, and feels like there's a particle of dust or something in my throat. So I have to cough or something. I'll apologize for that. I've got a little water down here. Hopefully that will help. I want to also say Happy Mother's Day, of course, to everyone, including my own mother, who is obviously not here. But as I mentioned this morning, she is out doing what she does. She's helping someone that she has kind of taken under her wing and has flown down to Florida, driven this young lady to Texas, and now is hopefully in the morning flying back home. She left Friday morning to fly down to Florida and then spent a few hours in Florida, started driving to Texas, hopefully got everything safe and sound late last night in Texas, and then flies back in the morning. So certainly thankful for her, and I'll miss her today. Normally we are together. If you remember, 7 years ago on Mother's Day, I came for the first time to preach and to try out. And that day my mother also came, so you got to meet her for the first time as well, and we went out for lunch that afternoon and just had a good day together as we always do. So encourage you to spoil your moms today. So you got that, kids? Spoil your mom today. I won't be around, but you guys take care of it. No, I'm kidding. And your wife, as we've already mentioned this morning as well. I want to talk for just a while, both this morning and this evening, about this thought or this idea of a spiritual legacy builder. And it's something that even Jim mentioned this morning as part of the poem that he read in Bible study, and appreciate that very much. But the idea that I came up with, the title of the lesson at least, was from one of my favorite financial products. So, yay, you get to go through a financial seminar here for just a second so I can explain what this particular title means. One of my favorite products that I used to sell was called a legacy builder. And it was a simple insurance product in which if somebody came to me and said, and it was for a very, very specific person, a very specific client, but if someone came to me and they said, listen, I've got, you know, $100,000, but I want to leave it all to my kids. I don't want to touch it. What's the best investment that you can give me that will, you know, maybe double this money or whatever by the time that, I'm gone and my kids are ready to take this? I said, oh, let me tell you about the legacy builder. Now, the legacy builder wasn't even an investment at all. And that was part of the good, great part about it. It was actually an insurance product. And so with insurance products, there's all these guarantees that are attached to this product. And what I could do was say, okay, I will take that $100,000 and I'll put it in a life insurance policy for you with your children as the beneficiary. And what that does is if you drop a one-time lump sum of $100,000 into a life insurance policy for your children, if you die the next day, it will almost, depending on how old you are, almost double in its value in one day. Now tell me where you can get that anywhere else. All right, you can't in an investment. It takes way too much time. But the idea of a life insurance policy, and then your children will get this money tax-free. It was a great product. Now, I didn't sell it to everyone because not everyone was in that situation where they had $100,000 that they didn't want to use. If you were ever going to use that money or think you might ever use that money, this product is not for you. But if you solely wanted it to leave to your children, then I would give you what was called the legacy builder. You see why they called it that? How many times can you double your money in one day? It was a very unique product. It was a very good product for that specific person. Well, that's where the idea came from. But it got me to thinking, what kind of spiritual legacy are we leaving for our children? Are we all focused on the physical? So, we have to leave our children money, right? We have to make sure that they're okay financially. Or are we more concerned about the spiritual side of that? That we leave our children spiritually in a good place. In Proverbs 31 and verse 30, whoever one assumes to be the mother of Solomon, the wisest man really to have ever lived, obviously aside from Jesus. But in Proverbs 31, he kind of takes this, some teachings that he got from his mom, and he puts them in. And one of the things that it says is, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And so today I want to take some time to look at some of the moms in Scripture and find out what we can learn from them as far as them leaving a legacy for their family. Now, I will admit openly that I'm going to take a couple of liberties, and I'll tell you where those are. But I'm going to take a couple of liberties with this. But I will say that at least all of the examples that we're going to go through today are women. Whether some of them had children or not, or were moms, that is to be determined. We just don't have the information. But I'm going to make the assumption that even if they didn't have kids, they would have been good moms because of these reasons. There's always going to be, though, a spiritual application for each and every one of us. So I don't want us to think that we're just talking about moms today and what you can do. No, there's a spiritual application in all of these for each and every one of us, and I hope that we can gain those today. We'll look at three this morning and three this evening. The first one, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, where we meet a woman named Hannah. In 1 Samuel 1, starting in verse 4, when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. It happened year after year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her. So she wept and would not eat. Right? You think your children, blame you for taking sides and having favorites, and you think your children pick on each other? This guy's got two wives. You think they are going to get along very well? It didn't seem that they did. She would provoke her year after year because of the children that she had, and not to mention because Elkanah loved her greatly. Starting in verse 10 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, she greatly distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. Speaking of Hannah, she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you indeed will look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come onto his head. I want you to think about this for a moment. Here's a mother who's not even a mother yet, but is praying for her children that weren't even born, weren't even conceived yet. That's a good mom. But I can guarantee you one thing. If you are sitting in this audience today, I would assume that your parents probably are praying for you. Kids. These prayers continued all throughout Samuel's life. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, we're told there, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." Do you think it's any less effective for a righteous woman to pray, especially when she's praying about her children? Here's the blessing of a good mom. A good mom, a good mother gives you someone who prays for you all the time. Do you realize that? That's a blessing that you have because you have a mother. God gives you someone who is care and concern for you all the time. Now again, that does not necessarily mean that all moms pray the way that they should. But all moms who are trying to do what God would have them to do, I'm going to make the assumption that they pray for their children every single day. Do you know there are days that my mother still tells me, "I pray for you every day. I pray for your family every day." Do you know how much comfort that that gives me? Do you know how much that relieves stress from my body and my mind to know that my mother is praying for me every single day? But not just praying for me, but praying for my family. Because I pray for my family every day. Single day. And it is nice to know that at least someone else is doing the very same thing. That's what God gives us in a good mother. And I think we can all look at Hannah and say, this is a good mom. But here's where we start to make application for ourselves. Do we let others know that we're praying for them? Because it means something. The man who baptized me into Christ oh so many years ago, and I won't even tell you how long ago that's been. You know, he still calls me every once in a while and tells me, "Tony, on average, I pray for you and your family once a day." Now that doesn't mean he necessarily prays for me every day. But he says, on average, I pray for you every single day. Do you know how good that makes me feel? Because I believe him to be a very righteous man. Do you know how good it makes me feel to know that even if he doesn't call me, which he does a few times a year, that he'll just tell me, "I average saying a prayer for you and your family once a day." It makes me feel good. Do we let others know that we're praying for them? Do we leave with our family the way that Hannah does, a legacy of prayer with our family? I believe that Hannah left that for Samuel, her son. And we look back upon all of Samuel's accomplishments, and we might, and again, arguably say that he was the greatest judge in Israel's history. Right? You can make your argument about what maybe your favorite judge is in all of the book of Judges. But I think we can look back and say he is probably the greatest judge in Israel's history. There may be an argument to that, but he was at least one of them at the top. Do you think that's a coincidence? Because I don't. I believe a lot of it had to do with not only Hannah's prayer for him, but the fact that she followed through on that prayer and handed her son over to God. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. Are we leaving a legacy of prayer to our children? Do we show them that we're praying each and every day? Do we tell them that we're praying for them each and every day? Do we tell others that we pray for them? Because it's something that I hope that everyone wants to hear. Let's move on to Ruth. Ruth chapter 1, starting in verse 15. Here is a woman that left a legacy of devotion to her family. Starting in Ruth chapter 1, verse 15. "Then she said, 'Behold, your sister-in-law, Orpah,'" she's speaking of here, "'your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. Now again, here is a woman who does not have children yet. But do you see how devoted that she is to her mother-in-law? Are you kidding me? Do you think that if Ruth is this devoted to her mother-in-law, that she's not going to be so much more devoted to her children? This is not even her biological family. But certainly I can say that this is her family. It may not be biological, but it is no doubt her family. You know what? I think this also says a lot about Naomi, but we'll leave her for a different time. It says a lot about her too, doesn't it? And how devoted Ruth was to her. She was devoted to her family. She was devoted to doing what's right in this situation. When it came to Naomi, when it came to her eventual husband Boaz, she was devoted to them. To this family that was not her biological family, but became her family. And what a blessing Ruth is to each and every one of us. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. We're told, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those of his own house, he has denied the faith. It is worse than an unbeliever." Now I want to go back to a thought that we talked about just a few moments ago when we were talking about Hannah and Hannah's prayer for her children, and not just her prayer, but the fact that she was devoted to God in the sense that she handed her son over to God when the time came. That she kept her promise to him that if you provide for me a son, I will give him to you and to your service. And that's exactly what she did. Now notice that a good mom, which is something that my mom has done, actually taught me to love other people more than I love her. That's a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing to teach, isn't it? This woman who cares for you every day of your life. You know, there's a point in time where you can't just walk away and leave your kids for a day, for even an hour, for even a few minutes. And they won't survive. They need that care. You are the only thing that they have to keep them alive. That was always my accomplishment. If Alana ever left and she came home and like, "Look, all the people, the little people that you gave me are still alive." Pat me on the back. Right? We've kept them alive the entire day. And nothing terrible happened. They need you to stay alive. That person that cares for you so much. You know that my mother taught me that when you get married, you're going to love your wife more than you love me. You know, as a child, it's kind of hard to imagine loving anybody more than you love your mommy, right? That's what she taught me. She taught me not only that, but she taught me also that, you know what? If I do something that's wrong, you follow God. You love Him more than you love me. So if you see me doing something that I'm not supposed to be doing, don't you do that. You follow after God. You follow after His will. A good parent will teach you that. That's what my mom taught me. And that's what a good mother does. We see in 1 Timothy that we need to, yes, provide physical things for our own household. But what about those spiritual things as well? Notice in Proverbs 23, verses 13 through 15, it says, "Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die." Does it sound like it sometimes? Yes. But God said, "He will not die." We understand, hopefully, what he's talking about here. He says, "You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol." If you love your children, you will discipline them. Is discipline always going to come in the same form? No, it's not. But if you love them, you will discipline. My mom loved me, let me tell you. I'm sure your mom loved you too. If she disciplined you, she did. It continues, "My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad." Do you realize that if you do this in the right way, there comes a point in time where you don't have to strike your children with a rod anymore? Discipline is sometimes not even needed because they already know. It's just the look, and they realize what they're doing is wrong. If you love, and again, you don't understand it until you have your own, but I know that my mother told me this multiple times, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. I never said it, but our thoughts are always, well, give me the paddle and let's find out, right? Let me have a crack at that. But we understand as parents, right? We don't want to discipline our children. We don't want to have to discipline our children. But if we are devoted to them in that way, to bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, we will discipline them. Is it difficult? Of course it is. But it's what God tells us to do. Now let me ask, do others know of our devotion to our family, our devotion to serving our God? Can other people see that in us, the way that they were able to see it in Ruth? You don't think people saw Ruth's devotion when she came back with Naomi? Now remember, Orpah, who was her sister, eventually left, but she didn't want to leave either. But she eventually did. And Ruth was so devoted that Naomi thought, you know what? I'm not going to fight this fight anymore. I'm just going to let her come with me. Because that is what she is going to do. That's what she wants to do. And so eventually, she just stopped telling her to go with her sister-in-law. She says, "You can come with me." And one of the most important phrases in that context that we read was when Ruth says, "And my people, or my God, or your God, shall be my God." Are we showing that kind of devotion to our children? I want my God to be your God. I hope that we are. I hope that we are devoted to our families in that way. I've seen so many people that maybe have been devoted to work. They have been devoted to other people, even serving others. But were not this devoted to their own family, and their own family suffered because of it. This is what God tells us to do first. Raise up your family in the right way. And I believe Ruth is a wonderful example of that. Let's move on to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. One of my favorite, at least female characters in scriptures. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. "Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word." So again, I told you I would get here. Here's where I'm going to use some liberty in talking about mothers. Was Mary a mother? I don't know. But is her legacy still set? The legacy of her studying God's Word still set? If she had children, do you think that legacy would have followed with her? So we may have to use our imagination just a little bit on this one, but I don't think it's a stretch. Let's move to John chapter 11. John chapter 11 and verse 32. We see here, therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So in the first scenario, we just kind of see Mary in the same house as Jesus, and he's teaching, and there she is, sitting at his feet, listening. Now we see the scenario where her brother Lazarus has died. She sees Jesus, she runs to him, and she falls at his feet. It says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. We also see in John chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, after Lazarus has been raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Every time that we see Mary in Scripture, we see her at Jesus' feet. Is that a legacy of studying God's Word? Is that a legacy of trying to learn as much, trying to be as much of a servant as she can? Let's ask what her legacy is. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 9 of this account, Jesus says, truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. Guess who I'm talking about today? Mary. This very person who spent all the time that we know of in Scripture. All of the accounts that are written about her have her at Jesus' feet. Always. So her legacy, whether she was a mother or not, I don't know. But her legacy nonetheless is set, whether she was a mother or not. Here's our question. Do other people see us at the feet of Jesus? Do our children see us at the feet of Jesus? Whether studying His Word or begging for His forgiveness. Do our children see us at the feet of Jesus? Learning more about Him. Asking Him to help us, to forgive us. Do our children see us at Jesus' feet the way that others saw Mary at Jesus' feet? The way that we can still see Mary at Jesus' feet. So whether it's for our children or for other people, now again, I'm not saying go out and make a blatant display of your faith to others. But I hope that we have the courage to bow our heads in prayer when we're about to eat a meal. Not to be seen, but at times that's going to be seen. I look for it. I told you the story of the time that we had the kids and we were at a restaurant. This obviously was a long time ago. We were at a restaurant and we were sitting down, and I looked over and I felt like the kids were being a little loud, and I looked over at the next table, and there everybody was, bowed in prayer. So I hushed all the kids. I said, shh, they're saying their prayer for their meal. And then I looked over again, and every last one of them had their phone in their hand. So I didn't quite see it right the first time, but that's what I was thinking. hey, good for these folks that are saying their prayer before a meal, and here we are ruining by our loud kids. But I wonder how often somebody has looked at our table and hopefully have seen our family leaving this legacy of being at the throne of God, being at the feet of our Savior. Do we leave that legacy to others? Do we leave that legacy of study where we're at Jesus' feet and He's teaching us? Do we leave that for our family? Do we leave that for others? You know, we've looked at three examples so far. We've looked at the prayer life of Hannah. We've looked at Ruth's devotion to her family and to God. We've looked at Mary's interest in studying God's Word, in hearing more and more about Jesus all the time. Tonight we're going to look at three more. But I want to ask us the question this morning, what kind of legacy are we leaving? You know, when somebody came to me with $100,000 that they wanted to pass on to their children, that's what they were telling me. I want to leave something. Something substantial for my children. And many times, either I did or wanted to tell them, you know, there's so much more that you can leave for your kids that I tell my parents all the time, spend it all. I don't care. Have fun. You don't have to leave me a dime. You enjoy it. But you know they still worry about it. Even though it makes no difference to my sister and I, they still want to leave the kids with something. But you know, I will say that my mom has always said, you know what, I want to give it to you now. So that I can see you enjoy. I can see the grandkids enjoying things. And so they want to do things now. It's still leaving that legacy. But the biggest thing that my parents left is going to be the spiritual legacy that they've left. And I can thank God, include my father in that. The spiritual legacy that they've left in what they do for other people and how they treat myself, my sister, others, far beyond anything that you can leave them physically. Leave for your family, leave for other people who are around you a spiritual legacy that they cannot forget, that they will not forget. Put in your mind that that's what you're going to leave for them. Does your legacy start today? If you're here and you're not a child of God, that spiritual legacy cannot be left yet. If you've not yet been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, then that spiritual legacy cannot be left yet. Don't wait. While it was a blessing to baptize my father into Christ, I'm sure he would tell you of all the wasted years. Now, that's not... Again, doesn't mean that he's not as saved as anyone else. But there's so much more that could have been done if the journey would have started sooner. You can start yours today. If you're here and you are a child of God who has fallen away, why not re-cement that legacy today? For your children, to see you do the right thing. For others, to see you do the right thing. Make that right with your God today. If you're here and subject to God's invitation in any way, won't you please come to the front seat while we stand and while we sing.